It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 41 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We have all kinds of look backs that we're going to talk to. And we're going to talk about all the coaching changes in the area. Jeff Tuttle's in studio with us today, Tony Stowers and myself. And Tony, you got some 41s for us?
I do. You know, close to our hearts because we're rooting for the Mavs. Dirk, he's a 41.
He is.
And close to your heart because you're a Cowboys. And Charlie Waters.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Waters.
Was a 41. Probably for... Wes Unseld was 41 as well. Mm-hmm. You know who he was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big hair.
But probably for my money, if I had to go with the best 41, even though I'm not a Reds or Mets fan, he was maybe the best pitcher of the 1970s, Tom Seaver.
Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati Reds. That's mm-hmm. right. And he was on the amazing Mets team that
won the World Series.
Yeah. 12-time All-Star, Hall of Famer. Tom Seaver, he could bring the heat in a time where, you know, not everybody could throw heat.
Now just to age myself a little bit, when you said the amazing Mets team, I was thinking 89, but y'all are talking
this
69.
Is more, that's yeah, exactly yeah. right. Yeah, I didn't like those Mets teams in the 80s.
Yeah.
You didn't like Doc Gooden?
No, and Strawberry. Well, the Pirates and the Mets were really going back and forth then. That was back when the Pirates were decent.
Well,
and the Mets were decent too.
Yeah, the Mets were pretty good in 89, but yeah. They were really good in 69.
Yeah.
And you know, had a lot of young pitchers that ended up having really long careers. Nolan Ryan on that team.
Yeah. For one. Yeah, you look back at their pitching staff, and they were kind of known as a no-name team at the time, but they end up having two of the best pitchers of all time on that team.
Yep.
Was Ray Knight on both of those teams?
I think 69 Ray Knight
and 89.
I don't think Ray Knight was on the 69 team. No. I remember Ray Knight more as a Red.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. I hadn't heard that name in a long time, and I may have never heard it again if you'd not brought it up.
And that's why y'all keep me.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Well, anyway, today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about some of the outstanding performances from each school that we talked about before, but just to kind of look those over, you know, all high school athletics are over with in Southwest Arkansas, let's start off with the Leopards, Tony.
The Queen Leopards, our shelter agency, shelter insurance, Woods Agency, excuse me, Leopard look back, going to be Jake Martin, Greg. I that night down at Magnolia, and Cotto, Ulysses Cotto, were everywhere. Jake Martin makes 18 tackles against the Magnolia Panthers. Mm-hmm. The Queen nearly wins the ball game,
yep.
Which would have been a huge upset. And, you know, I started statting for the Leopards when I got here, you know, 14 years ago. And it was the most tackles by a Leopard in 14 years. And, you know, Bell thought maybe there was a time when, and he was a great linebacker as well.
Yeah.
That he may have had 18 or more. But 18 tackles is a lot of tackles. In a football game. Cotto had 16 that night, which tells you a lot about the two offenses that the Queen and Magnolia run. But yep. It was a tremendous performance by Jake Martin, and he's going to be our Woods Agency Shelter Insurance Leopard Look Back player.
Yep, we appreciate Woods Agency for sponsoring us all year long.
He was also first team Sports Page on the Air Southwest Arkansas All-Star team, too, linebacker.
Yep, he was. And, you know, moving on, we're going to the Ashdown Panthers next, and their Horatio State Bank Panther look-back players going to be their offensive line, Tony.
Well, Jim Cross bragged on their offensive line all season, and when I was looking back through my notes from the football season, I think three separate times Jim mentioned those guys by name, and I just wanted to do it one more time. Avery Buster, Wyatt Jones, Colton Rowe, Gary Jerkins, and Radarius Norman did a great job for the Panthers on the line this year. A lot of times those guys do not get enough recognition. They put several people on our Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the year, first team and second team, and honorable mention on the offensive line. And I know Jim thought a lot of those guys.
Yeah, he really did. And you know, just to kind of take that a little bit further, Caleb Blankenship, their long snapper, par excellence, has got a scholarship to Ole Miss, which, you know, that doesn't happen every day for long snappers, but very important. He's one of the top five long snappers in the country and got a very interesting story. And Jim had a chance to interview him, and we're gonna listen to that now.
Hey, Caleb, you had a great career at Ashdown as a baseball catcher, long snapper, linebacker, defensive tackle, tight end, all the things you got to do. Hey, share some of your most precious memories of playing at Ashdown.
Oh, man. So, all of the above. We'll start out sophomore year. Sophomore year is probably my favorite year of high school, knowing that the class of 2022 was probably my most favorite class that's ever came through Ashdown. From what I've known, of course, guys like Alex Kilbach, Jackson Jester, Spencer Patterson, Landon Rowe, Dalton Russell, all of them. They took me in under the wing, and a few of my buddies, we were real close to them guys, and we just grew closer together towards them. And, you know, that's some of the best memories I've ever had throughout high school, you know. And then, of course, getting older, junior year, senior year, you got to be the big dog, the leader on the campus.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm glad I just made an impact towards all academics and athletics in Ashdown, and I hope that I hope and pray that the den I left there at Ashdown is what I'm known for, you know. Best memories, of course, let's see. Probably state championships in baseball, you know.
Yeah.
football, just each and every game, having Coach Rich as my coach for football, you know. The impact he made on my life individually is probably the best memory I'll have throughout Ashdown.
And you certainly have some great memories.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, tell us about in talking to my son Austin, Coach Cross, he says you're good enough to play college baseball. Coach Richardson said you're certainly good enough to play just about any position you want to in college football. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the long snapping journey. How did that start, and how did that go to get you where you are now, going to Ole Miss to be a long snapper in the SEC?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love to. So from the beginning, I'll say beginning, eighth grade year, you know, me, I was not the biggest. I wasn't the strongest. I wasn't the fastest. And, you know, long snapping was kind of those positions that were, they come in all different shapes and sizes.
Right,
you know?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to be fast to do it. You didn't have to be strong, real strong. You just had to be quick. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say I was fairly quick, you know, playing on D-line and stuff. But, you know, long snap was that type of deal that, you got to work hard for it. There's no luck that's involved with long snapping. It's strictly skill and determination and practice. So eighth grade year, dad actually found on YouTube, or one of his buddies said, hey, you need to get your son to long snap.
Mm.
That's an easy way to get into college football.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that journey, so I started it. I tried it. Me and dad went out and we tried it. Who would have thought throwing a ball between my legs would be something I'd do one day, but I sure didn't, I tell you that. So my very first specialist camp, I went in Dallas. It was a Coles kicking camp, and I got dead last. Hmm. Dead last out of probably 100-plus long snappers.
Okay.
And it was devastating, of course. I got in the car, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Hmm. And dad, of course, he's probably my biggest motivator. He said that, well, you can either quit or you can practice and work hard and do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Become the best you can be. Of course, I didn't stop. I practiced. Yeah. I went after it. And I got to where I am today, being top five in the nation in long snapping and being able to go to Ole Miss to be their long snapper.
How did you choose Ole Miss? What went into that decision?
Ole Miss, you know, they stood out ever since they contacted me, really. Coach Schoonover at Ole Miss, he got my phone number, and he contacted me and wanted me to come to their camp.
Okay.
So, of course, specialist camps were a big deal throughout the summer. So I took a little trip to Oxford, Mississippi, and I snapped in front of Coach Schoonover and Coach Schecksnyder. He's the analyst at Ole Miss. And after I finished, I left, and I really didn't think nothing of it. You know, Ole Miss is just another school I'd go to, just look at, and, you know, have fun. They contacted me back and said I was probably I was the best snapper to come through their camp throughout the summer.
Wow.
So it was awesome. It was surreal. So they invited me out for a game day visit. Mm-hmm. And really, I watched them play LSU. That's the time they beat them 55-49 night game. The crowd was roaring. And I'm like, I told Dad when I left, I said, this is the place where I want to be. Uh-huh. And I was blessed enough. They contacted me probably a few weeks later and said that they had an offer for me. So they offered me, and I broke down into tears because I knew it was probably, ever since that day, it was my dream school. Mm-hmm. And I ran inside. I told my family, and it was amazing. It was the best feeling I probably ever had. Of course, schools came in after that, offering and such, but nothing stood out like how Ole Miss was. And really, today, I'm going to tell anybody that wants or has any interest in going to Ole Miss, I'd do it. Absolutely. 100%.
That's awesome. Caleb, there's let's just say a third or fourth grade boy comes in and talks to you about mm-hmm. his dreams. What advice would you give a young kid to get him to where he needs to be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's anything involving athletics, academics. You're not going to get everything in life. You're not gonna be blessed with accolades that people would have. Like, of course, there's some people today in college, SEC, who's born with strength or speed or stuff like that. Uh-huh. I wasn't one of those people. Mm-hmm. But it's not gonna stop you from being who you are. Mm-hmm. You have to work for it. You have to put your head down, keep working, and when things get hard, keep on going. Like, there's no resting. There's no none of that. You have to work hard. Mm-hmm. Find somebody and work hard. And when they get tired, you pick them up and you tell them to come on. Like, some more. Let's go. We got to keep going. That's the biggest deal. You know, if a kid came and told me, how'd you do it? You got to keep the Lord first in all you do. And do not stop working.
That's great advice. That's great advice for anything, isn't it?
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, Caleb, we're proud of you and all the many things you've done at Ashdown, and we look forward to keeping up your career as an Ole Miss Rebel.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, and we're back. That was a very interesting interview, and we appreciate Jim so much for doing that.
Caleb's got a real opportunity to go out. You know, we talk about one of the reasons we did this podcast is our kids do not get a lot of notoriety, you know, in the rest of the state of Arkansas. Caleb has a chance to make a big impact on that.
Yeah, he really does, and we appreciate Jim so much for all he does for not only Panther Athletics, but for our podcast all year long. Jeff, Toad Thumper Outlaw, look back player of the year.
Well, I put a little bit of thought into this while we've been going over some other things, and hey. Y'all understand what I mean.
Yeah, we do.
We have to go with Jordan Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the first few ball games. I mean, not necessarily one game, but he had nearly 800 yards rushing.
He was on a pace to break O.J. Simpson's record in 2000.
After three games. I mean, that's a quick start. And, I mean, that's a big accomplishment. He went over 1,000 easily for the year. And, I mean, that's due to the start he had the first few weeks of the season. I think he got our player of the week maybe 3 weeks in a row at that point.
And well deserved too.
So yes. Jordan Hill would be the Toad Thumper Outlaw look back player.
You know, and the thing about Jordan is a very tough kid, not a huge boy. You know, he's not that big, but he really did a good job running the football. And, you know, got hurt, hurt him a little bit, slowed him down a little bit, I should have said, during the year. But still a great season by him and just a great start to the season. Like
just a junior. You know, he went on to excel in basketball, baseball, track.
Just an athlete. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good kid.
Yep. So congratulations to Jordan Hill, the Toad Thumper Outlaw look back player. Moving on to Costot River now. Costot River, the Union Bank Eagle look back, in quotation mark, player, is going to be their football team.
Yeah, last week we acknowledged Dakota Barrett being the first football coach, and we've got to talk to him a number of times. Man, I really like him and his attitude and the willingness to tackle something like the genesis of a of a football team. But what I don't want to get lost in that is these kids' commitment to to being that, because there's a lot of growing pains, I would imagine, being the first. And I imagine there's some times they got knocked on their tails. If we had the whole roster here, we'd read it. But we just want to acknowledge the first Eagle football team. You know, I hope 25, 50 years from now, they go back and acknowledge those young men who were the first team of Eagle football players.
Well, they get out there and compete. You know, I don't know if y'all remember or not, but they played a game at Derrick's against Blevins, and I was able to go to that. And it was fun to watch two upstart programs out there getting after it, you know. I mean, that's history.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. And congratulations to them. Just for our little part of it, I was so excited to get to talk about a team starting a football program and going from that. And just listen to Coach Barrett talk about it. Amazing. But
I got to meet him after the MENA game, after the Leopards played MENA up there. And just a super nice guy and very appreciative of everything that anybody has done for him. And a lot of the football community here in Southwest Arkansas has really come, you know, around and the Eagles and helped him out in numerous ways. And I know Coach Bell's been a huge help to the Eagles. And, you know, one more football team in Southwest Arkansas is a good thing for everybody.
I met Coach Barrett when we were up there doing a basketball game. Met Constantine. Like you say, super nice guy. Any accommodations we needed. They even gave us the Wi-Fi password so we could
broadcast. Which is a must.
Which is a must there. That's right, because you're not going to get out without it. But we appreciate him. And just a big congratulations to all those kids for making history at Constant River.
Absolutely.
Move on to the Foreman Gators now. Now the Horatio State Bank look back player there is going to be the junior all-conference offensive lineman, Kenneth Hanna, who, if I'm not mistaken, was also a first-team Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air offensive lineman.
That is correct, and had a great year. It wasn't what I'm sure Gator fans and Gator football players hoped for as far as the team effort, but they had some great individual efforts on that team. One of them was Kenneth Hanna.
Yeah, and, just a great year by Kenneth Hanna. Moving on now to Horatio, and the Horatio State Bank Lion look-back player is going to be Emma Ray.
Boy, that was a shocker, wasn't it?
Yeah. hard to pick that one. It just like you wrote down here, a double-double machine, just an outstanding basketball player has been for a long time.
I remember our game down there, and I know you all played him as well. We had no answer.
No.
We had no answer for Emma Ray.
No
answer. So –
For 3 or 4 years for this.
Five. Started in the eighth grade, probably. Yeah, I mean, she's just been a force to be reckoned with down at Horatio for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
And great player. Going to miss watching her get to play. And now that we've gone through all these schools, I just want to go through one more time and mention our sponsors for the players of the week. The Leopard sponsor Wood Agency Shelter Insurance. Horatio State Bank sponsors Ashdown, Foreman, and Horatio. Toad Thumper Lures sponsors the Dirks Outlaws. And Costot River is sponsored by the Union Bank of MENA. And we appreciate those sponsors so much and for what they've done all year long. A little bit later in the broadcast, we're going to talk about what we're going to do for the next couple of months. But we just want to make sure that we give them all the credit, because they do such a great job for us and enable us to be able to do this for
absolutely
the kids.
And they have been with us. They've stuck with us 41 episodes. Which,
yeah.
Even when we
some would
about
question
Michael
their intelligence,
Jordan.
But
yeah,
Toe Thumper stuck with us even when we talk about Michael Jordan being the greatest of all time.
You know, it's amazing to me.
We really appreciate
it. Yeah, we do appreciate that. But you know, now lots of activity going on in athletics in Southwest Arkansas, even though it's not. Nobody's playing anything.
Well, you know, the thing is that you talk about the coaching carousel, and when you talk about that, most people think of NCAA football. But the coaching carousel's been in full swing in Southwest Arkansas here as of late.
Yeah, it really has been. I mean, every school has had some changes.
Yeah.
And we talked about some of that last week, this week, and we talked about Foreman. Foreman hired a new head football coach and athletic director, Ed Baker, runs the Flexbone offense, and he has had previous head coaching stints at Huntsville, Perryville, and he's coached in Oklahoma for a while and came back to Arkansas to coach at Foreman. Really nice guy. Got to talk to him just a little bit, and look forward to good things for them down at Foreman.
Well, and you think about the Flexbone. You think about that may be the perfect offense for the Gators. It is an offense of if you can get it right, you can control the football. You can take time off the clock. You can rest your defense. There's a lot of things you can do with the Flexbone if you run it well, and it may be the perfect offense for the Gators.
Yep.
The only difference I have with you there is 2A football, you're not going to rest your defense.
Well, you're right.
They're running that offense. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you exactly. I mean, if you can execute.
There's going to be less plays, I guess, is probably what I should
say. But, I mean, if you're right. If you can execute, that's a great offense to run.
Yeah.
Different variations of it, you know, run all around Arkansas. So,
well, you know, there's something and one thing about it's, and I don't know that rest is the right word, but it seems like you get tireder playing defense than you do playing offense.
I agree.
So if you're playing both ways, you're getting less tired by playing offensively than you do defensively. For some reason, as a team goes, I know individuals can be different.
I'm going to tell you what, but the best way to demoralize a defense is not to hit an 80-yard bomb. The best way to demoralize a defense is an 18-play drive that spans a quarter and a half. You can demoralize a defense doing that.
Yeah, but you are right. They will be playing both ways. So moving on to Ashdown. Ashdown has a new head football coach. They hired Eric McCaslin. He was the offensive coordinator at Hope. Got to see a couple of posts with him with Jim Cross and him going and visiting people at the nursing home. And just looks like an outstanding hire for the Panthers there.
Yeah, and if you can take any indications from Hope's offense, from what the Panthers could be running, they'll be throwing the ball a little more. So, you know, that's kind of – that was Hope's MO anyway. They would they'd throw short and then try to make that a big play.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think that, you know, Ashdown still got the athletes to do that also.
If anybody does, they do.
Yeah. Moving on to Horatio. Horatio's hired Paul David Willis as a new – head football coach, and prior to the Horatio, Willis has had multiple stops around Texas. He's been at Harrison, he's been at Texarkana, he's been at Foreman, and he's been at Horatio as an assistant.
Yeah.
So he's familiar with Horatio, and he's gonna take up the reins there as the head coach there, Patrick Massey had an opportunity to talk to him, and so we're going to listen to that conversation now.
You know, I've got a special place for Horatio and the kids, and I kind of felt like that it would have been something I've been interested in to lead the program. So put my name in a hat and got lucky enough that I was wrong. It's going to be a learning opportunity, but it, like you said, since I know the kids and I know the program and the kids know me, I think, you know, we're going to limit that learning stuff. I coached a lot of them 2 years ago in junior high. Had some of them that were sophomores when I was coaching that, you know, are still there. And then I've been teaching Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, so they've had me in class. You know, they know how mean I am, and they kind of understand it. They know I'm kind of old school and have old men ways, and so, you know, that'll be good for them. I'm looking forward to it, and that's part of the reason that I decided to do this is I do care about the kids, and I like the kids, and, you know, the program is special, and I'm kind of excited about doing what I'm doing. We're actually starting the summer program the 3rd of June. We got kids coming in the morning for a couple hours, and we're gonna lift and run and kind of get our feet on the ground. So I guess technically, legally, I guess I go on contract July 1st, but coaches are You know, I'm kind of one of those old school guys. Coaches pretty much is a 12-month year job, even though you don't get paid for 12. I'm excited about being there. I know that we need a lot of work in the program. I understand that, and we just got to get some interest back in football and get the kids interested in doing the deed. You know, do some things and get the kids interested in the game. And really, I'm totally honest, just trying to be a positive influence on these kids' lives because, you know, it's a whole lot. It's a different world that we're growing up in. And, you know, kids need, they need a little structure and a little discipline and, you know, a little loving, but sometimes they need a little kick in the tail too. So, you know, I think as a coach, you need to be willing to do that.
Appreciate Patrick doing that so much. And great information from Coach Willis, and look forward to meeting him and talking to him soon.
What I know about Lions fans is he'll have a tremendous amount of support, and the enthusiasm will be high.
Yeah, it really will be. And, you know, this is just talking about football mostly. Been a lot of basketball movement, too. Yeah, you got one more thing you want to talk about, don't you?
I'll sneak one in.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, it could be as big as any news we've talked about.
Before we get off of football, we've talked a few weeks ago about the Outlaws losing assistant coach Tristan Snyder.
Sorry about that.
Who they loved over there.
Sorry, not sorry.
To y'all's beloved DeQueen Leopards. We weren't happy about it. Y'all were. We loved Coach Snyder over there. But the school board has hired a replacement for him, and they have snagged former Horatio head coach Lance Castleman.
That's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad to welcome him on board and hope for big things. He will be an assistant football and head track is what I've been told.
Well, you know, we got a chance to talk to Coach Castleman a couple of times before the football season last year when we were doing our high school football preview, and I was very impressed with him. Very impressed with
him. Yeah, very impressive guy. That's a great hire for Dirks.
Well, you know, absolutely. We talked last year on one of the podcasts during football season about just the good guys in general.
Yeah.
And some of them we had around here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of them.
Yes.
Coach Ernest was one of them. And Derek's has two of them on staff right there, not to mention your other coaches. I mean, that's just
– yeah.
You know, you got two –
it's a home run. There's, yeah. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It's a home run.
I mean, I think it's a great hire.
Well, you know, I think one of the things, you know, and I'm just going to put it in this context, you know, when Pittman went to Arkansas, he took the Missouri head coach and had him as his defensive coordinator. And so you've kind of got you know, you still got to have somebody in charge, and I know Coach Ernest is in charge, but he's got a guy that's got head coaching experience.
Yeah, it's the experience, I believe.
Yeah, that's going to be
sure
a benefit.
You can have too much knowledge and wisdom on the sideline.
No. And that's
if the cooperation's there, knowledge is a good thing.
Except for the knowledge and wisdom you have behind the sideline in a stand.
Yeah,
there can be too much
with
of that.
With a headset on,
there can be too much of that from time to time.
A real small headset, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I was talking about the fans in general.
Okay.
But you know, big hire for Dirks. I think that's going to work out great. Congratulations to
we have knowledge about all things football, officiating, all that stuff.
Yeah, I got called
even
out
an
about
occasional
that
band combat. Yes, you did. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, you know, so that kind of covers the football head coaches, but you know, and. You know, we talked about Tristan Snyder moving over here as a line coach for the Leopards, but man, a lot of movement in basketball. You know, both Coach Reed and Coach Minton from Horatio, Coach Reed moving into administration. Coach Minton just found out he's moving to Bearden to coach the girls over there. So that they've got an opening there right now. As far as I know, I don't think they've hired anybody.
I haven't
yet
seen that they have.
You know, when you look at the Leopards here, you know, they hired Coach Brett Burgess to replace Eden Spears as she goes over to Gurdon. Great hire for the Leopards, Lady Leopards, but got two junior high positions open. I think they filled the junior boys position, but not – it hadn't been hired yet, so I'm not going to mention the name. But they also, Coach K is leaving, so there'll be a junior girls position open there that they're looking for. And then when you look at Costa River, both of their boys and girls coaches are gone.
Yeah.
In basketball, their girls coach went to Horatio, and their boys coach, Coach Barrett's actually going to be coaching the basketball team in addition to the football team. He's going to be a busy, busy man.
Well, I'm going to tell you though, how impressed is the Eagles administration with Coach Barrett that they trust him to be the football and the basketball? I mean, I'm impressed with him, and my interaction with him is very limited. But, I mean, everybody else must be too, is all I can say.
Yeah, and another team in there that we don't really cover, but it affects, like, the Outlaws Conference. They're in their conference play and everything. You know, former Outlaw coach Kevin Alexander went to Murfreesboro, coached there this last year. He's taking a job at Marmaduke, so he'll be leaving Murfreesboro and heading north, I assume. I'm not sure where Marmaduke is.
It's north.
Near Meridian, Mississippi.
No, it's not that far.
So, you know, that's another local.
I guess that's south.
Yeah. Another local change right there.
I'm a geography challenged.
Yeah. Yeah, it is another local change. You know, just a lot of movement there. And, you know, and going to be interesting to see how all these changes affect the teams, and we're really excited about the opportunity to get to talk to all these new coaches.
And we don't talk about the Scrappers a whole lot, but they made a hire that you know you would expect them not to rebuild, but to reload, and they reloaded. So yeah. I mean, there's the coaching carousel's been spinning hard in Southwest Arkansas.
Yeah, it really has, and so. Just looking forward to that as we go into the summer and getting to talk to these new coaches and see, you know, what their philosophies are, see how it plays out next fall and over the next season, going to be something to look forward to. We'll see how it all plays out.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for some football.
Yeah, it's time, man.
It's not going to be long, man. No. It's going to be a turn of the head, and we're going to be doing our August shows of high school football previews.
Yeah.
We'll be buying our Hootens and tearing that thing apart.
Yep. This may be a good time to kind of talk about what we're going to do for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
With there not being a whole lot of high school activity going on, what we're going to do is we're still going to have a couple of shows a month, probably two in June, two in July. But we'll just be talking about things that we think are of interest to Southwest Arkansas sports fans, and especially things that are of interest to us.
Yeah, we'll make fun of the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah, which is very easy to do.
Cheer on the Razorbacks World Series baseball.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
Which, by the way, they're playing right now.
Yeah, they are playing right now.
If you just heard that. Yeah, if you just heard that, don't go looking through your radio dial to hear the Razorbacks, because this is taped.
Yeah, that's right.
But Thursday, 9:30.
See, you used to be on top of all that stuff. You are our time expert. You were the
– Who was the guy in Quantum Leap? At that clock right there.
The Scott Bakula. What was his character's name? You used to know that, too.
Quantum Leap. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, see? I don't know. Tuttle's losing it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what's wrong.
You are not the first person that's like that.
It's the wrong day.
Yeah, I mean.
We messed him up by having this on the wrong day.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so everything's off.
I feel
off
like the time traveler's wife over
there. but you know, anyway, for the next couple of months, that's what we're going to do. Then when we get back to August, we're going to start previewing football again. And so I just want to talk a couple of minutes about our primary sponsors. Want to talk about the Walker Enterprises, Randy Walker Family Clinic, the Walker Pediatric Clinic, Ayers Cleaners, the Dirks Family Clinic, Leopard Care Clinic, and
Sam Beckett.
And Tuttle's favorite, Simple Simon Pizza. All great sponsors for our podcast, and man, we really appreciate them so much.
I'd like to go back in time for that Beast Feast.
Yeah, hey, it's still there, man. You can still get it.
It could be in the future, huh?
Yeah, that's right. It's not. You don't have to go back in time for that.
The chicken or that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, we also want to mention Martin Veterinary Services, the Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. They've been sponsors with us from the start, and we appreciate them so much. And, you know, that kind of covers all the Southwest Arkansas sports. Guys, what do y'all want to talk about now?
Well, there are some NBA playoffs going on, and of local interest is the Mavs are up on the Timberwolves now, one game to none. And a couple weeks ago, Greg, I told you I'd take the Celtics, and you said you'd take the field, but I'm not so sure. I'm not looking pretty good on that.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah. The Celtics still are not playing great, but they put it on the Pacers.
Yeah.
The other night, the Celtics get a break. I think they get a break because the Pacers are the sixth seed, you know, and they make it to the conference championship. But I just don't see them getting in Boston's way.
And I've thought about this. I have thought about the Celtics and the Pacers. Can you name the starting five for the Pacers?
No.
Absolutely not. I mean, no.
No.
And I'm sure Indiana fans think, yeah, they got a superstar, but, I mean, they're overmatched.
Yeah.
They are. They are. And I really think it's going to be the Mavs and the Celtics, and I'd love to see the Mavs come out of that. But I just think the Celtics have the best team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and on the West, you know, I have watched the fourth quarter of a few ball games.
That's what matters, right?
That's it.
I mean, I'm telling Mavs, you, that's about right in the NBA.
The Mavs were lucky to get out of the matchup with OKC.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they were doomed in that one, and they pulled it off. And, I mean, let's be honest, the Timberwolves beat arguably the best team behind the Celtics.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Nuggets. That was an upset.
Yeah, it was.
And once again, no big-name superstars at the time. Now, Anthony
Edwards
is going to be a superstar, but right now he doesn't rate against what the Mavs have.
Well, Carl Anthony Towns is on that team, and he's been a pretty good player for a long time. Yeah, probably overrated a little bit,
but I mean, he's from Kentucky. He's had a good season this year.
Yeah, he has had a good season, and they play pretty well. You know, the thing about the Mavericks, of course, one reason I like the Mavericks is because they're close.
Yeah.
Another reason I like them, Daniel Gafford's playing for him, which, by the way, he's a man now.
Well, and that's something I was going to.
Yeah, he's playing really well for him. A lot better than he played when he played for the Razorbacks.
Well, you know, in game one, if you give up 30 apiece to the two scorers, mm-hmm. I mean, Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And then anywhere from 15 to 25 to the rest of the team, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's where Gafford and a few others have stepped up. And, you know.
Well, you know what I remember about Gafford was when he played up here at the Coliseum and the Dunk Fest. And he was kind enough. He signed autographs for our young people that wanted his autograph.
Yeah.
He was a very humble young man. I hope he still is, but. That's what I remember about Daniel.
Did y'all watch the post-game interview with Kyrie Irving last night?
No.
On the set with Barkley and Shaq and them. You know, they asked him when he bought in. And he said he decided last year, at the end of the season, they had potential. And he was just trying to keep everybody on board. And then he said when we made the trade in mid-season and got Gaff, is what he called him, he said, I knew we could win it all. Mm. So, you know, he's respected in the league. I mean, he's earned that, and
yeah.
He set a record for, what was it earlier in the season? Most
shots without missing.
Yes.
It's like 21 shots. Or 22. Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done really well. But, Luka Doncic is a player that when he's hot, nobody in the league can stop him. I mean, he can shoot it between his legs backwards and it goes in.
And like I say, he talked about the bad game he had last night, which I didn't see because I didn't watch his first half. But, you know, he said Kyrie kept him above water, and then Kyrie and him both said, you know, he took it over in the second half, which
yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a good game, and but even with that being said, the Mavs scored the last 8 points of the game to win it.
Yeah.
They were behind, so they were. Right. They scored the last 8 points to win it. So which I mean, you got to give them credit for doing that. But it was still a game that could have went either way. Is what I'm saying.
I heard them say that they thought the Timberwolves would take advantage of them in the paint, and they may have scored 62 in the paint, like 62 to 20 something.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, the most famous player for the Timberwolves. Man, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. The big kid that used to be at Utah, number 27.
I don't know his name.
I don't guess I do either.
He is the one that started the pandemic in the NBA with COVID. First one to test positive.
I don't know about that.
Man, come on, y'all are slacking.
Hey,
I can think of his name.
I'm he's from slacking. Utah. Who cares?
No, he's from France, I believe. But
Gobert.
Gobert. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. Yep.
He started the downfall of the NBA in 2020 by testing positive.
Well, by allowing the playoffs to go in the bubble and the Lakers to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought we were going to get through this without mentioning the Lakers.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, and when you look at the switching over to the Celtics really quickly, though, I think that, you know, they have the most talent. They've got the best team. Jordan Walsh on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't play that much, but he plays a little bit.
Yeah, I've seen him on the bench. I mean, he's dressing out with them.
Yeah, and you know, I think this goes the same way we talked about, or we will talk about some hockey here in just a second. I think these two series is going to be just like I'm going to say hockey is going to be. Mavs and Wolves are going to beat each other up. Celtics are going to have a much easier time with the Pacers. They're going to get to rest, and I think that's going to be the difference in the finals, and Celtics are going to come out in the finals, even though I did take everybody else against the Celtics at the time.
Celtics have so many people that can go for 20-plus.
Yeah.
I mean
– oh, they got people that's 7-8 down. Yeah, all coming off the bench and go for 20-plus.
I was going to say, for instance, you talk about a midseason trade – you know, they got Drew Holiday, who's had to do nothing all season. You know, if he gets 10, that's fine. If he gets 20, that's fine. And he carried them the other day.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge.
Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't pick the Celtics because I'm a Celtics fan. I'm not. But I mean, they've been the best team all season. And I really don't think that's debatable, even if you're not a Celtics fan.
Agreed.
Anything else on NBA? You want to talk about – let's talk – just for a second, we'll talk about hockey.
Yeah, Tyler's not here.
Yeah, Tyler's not here to talk about it, but we'll talk about that just for a second. I mean, you got
– I'm going to tell you what, though. Everything that he said would come to fruition has come to fruition.
Oh, yeah.
He knows his hockey, man. Yeah. He knows his hockey much better than I do.
Yeah, he does. The one thing that he's going to be wrong about, in my opinion, is that I think the Panthers are going to take the Rangers.
And I would be wrong about that, too, so I hope he's right.
Yeah. But of course, the Panthers won the first game, which occurred last night.
It's 3-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, one of them was an empty netter. And, you know, I mean, but the thing about, you know, Panthers are tough.
They're hard-nosed.
And as I talked about in the NBA, you got the Dallas Stars playing the Edmonton Oilers, which should be I hate to say it in the finals, but almost a walkover for the Stars.
I think the Stars could potentially sweep the Oilers.
Yeah.
And this Panthers-Rangers series could go 7 games.
Yeah.
And similar to what you're talking about with the Celtics.
That's right.
You know, the Stars get a lot of rest before the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah.
And I think that would be ideal for the Stars.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that's the way the Stars win it, if they win it.
Yeah.
It's because they take care of the Oilers quick enough that they get the rest they need to be fresh for the finals.
I totally agree.
And the other team, whichever one it is, because I think it could be either one, for really. But they're going to come out beat up and wore out.
Yeah.
So
I flipped by a hockey game the other night.
Yeah, I know.
I've got two words on this from what I hear from y'all. Tyler Massey, Bet Sarazen.
There you go. Words of wisdom from King Tut.
I think you can just end on that.
Anyway.
That's a good place to end on there. One thing I wanted to talk about just for a minute, and we talked about a little bit about this before we started this morning, is there's about to be a ruling come down on name, image, likeness, or NIL, as there's been a lawsuit filed against the NCAA. Apparently going to be, billions of dollars. Looks like the way it's going to pay out, NCAA is going to pay half of it. The Big Five schools, is that the right?
Are you talking about the G5?
No. Like Alabama.
Power Five.
Yeah. They're probably going to pay 40%. The other schools are going to pay 60%, which is going to be – you know, you're looking at a school like Arkansas paying $20 million a year for the next 10 years. You know, and at least that's what I read. So, you know, what's that going to do to these smaller Division I schools? You know, I think it's what it's doing is it's going to separate them.
Oh, and well, that's where it's headed anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just accelerate it. You and I talked about this earlier, and Jeff was there too. You know, at first everybody envisioned two divisions, the Division I football, the big boy, so to say, which is almost the NFL, you know, the Wild Wild West, million-dollar quarterback, whatever, and whether that could be 32 or 40 or 48 teams. And then the rest of, you know, there's 130 teams in Division I football, you know, the 90 or so that would be left. But I think it's going to be – I think this is going to take it to a state where it is – the big boys, the NFL of college football. Then a rung behind that is teams that are kind of in the middle that are still paying players, but not to the extent that Alabama can. And then you're going to have a good portion of the G5 and maybe a few Power Fives decide, you know what, we're sick to death of this. We're going to go back to the way it was. That's where Marshall's going to be. That's where Arkansas State's going to be, and you're going to play for an education. And if that's not good enough, go get paid. So, I mean, I hate to be that pessimistic, especially about herd football, but I just don't see it ending any other way.
Well, I think we've kind of hinted around for months, maybe a couple of years, about the NIL, and just to, for lack of better words. I mean, if this settlement comes to fruition, the NIL is the end of NCAA football.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. You know, and one of the things that, and you know, I'm going to admit it, at least in my opinion, Arkansas started it. We just, you know, with the hiring of Coach Calipari and giving him what he wanted and giving him the NIL money he wanted to get all these
keep
players.
Keep up if you can.
So that's what it is. That's all it is. And you know, we're as far as I know, we're the first school to do that with any teams. Do y'all know anybody else? Mm-mm. So basically,
above the table.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it can be above the table now.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is, that's just going to blow up all over the place. Now, I mean, you talked about one school that you know, doesn't mind, they didn't mind cheating when it wasn't even right to do it. But you know, you don't think SMU is going to be doing the same thing?
Yeah. You know, I've mentioned on here before that I'd heard they have like the most billionaires in the area.
I'm going to tell you what. Drive through Dallas and tell me SMU doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was just going to say, SMU goes from the death penalty to trying to build their program back to, if this pans out like you think, being one of those top teams that's going to pay for everything they want.
They were just ahead of their time.
That's what I was saying.
Well, you know, if they go by,
they were just paying players multi-million dollars.
That's why I picked them in the bowl game deal. Remember?
That's exactly right.
If you don't think they're going to do that, I think you're sadly mistaken.
Well,
I mean, if it's not them, it's going to be
somebody.
ACC
making a big mistake taking SMU ahead of. That was brilliant to take SMU, and nobody, you know. And now, is the ACC going to be around long to see the fruits of taking SMU? Probably not.
I mean,
but that was a good move.
Oh, also, in that area, you got TCU. I mean, both Christian schools, SMU and TCU. But you think football's not the moneymaker out there?
I mean,
they're going to do whatever they have to do.
Well, and this is what I try to tell my friends in West Virginia. You know, that you're in a conference one where you're a geography outlier. You know, West Virginia's out there by itself. Now they got Cincinnati, but you got Morgantown and West Virginia. There's more people in Dallas than are on a whole state of West Virginia. You cannot compete with these schools financially. You can't do it.
There's more people in the city limits of Dallas, not even counting all those other ones, the old city of Dallas.
Yeah.
Than there
that
is
was
in the
Greg
state
Rebel. Send your email to.
Well, I mean, it's the same way with Arkansas.
I know. I don't know how many students SMU and TCU have, but there's probably more than there is people in Huntington. I mean, you just cannot compete. You just don't have the resources, you don't have the industry, you don't have the people, you don't have the population, you don't have nothing.
You don't have the Mark Cubans.
Well, that's another thing.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not picking on you, and I've never been to Marshall Stadium, but I'm going to say some of those stadiums we drive by, those high school stadiums, are comparable to Marshall.
You know what I'm saying? They are.
Marshall
plays in about a 40,000 seat stadium, yeah, and they rarely fill it up. You know, it's got to be a Power 5 team to
right,
fill it up.
Right. And you know, and they may be a little bit smaller, but man, you talking about you know, they take it serious down there. And you know, it's not only Dallas. I mean, which we consider all this Dallas, but we're going to be considered
Dallas for a long.
Yeah, we went
the
to
Queen
see,
will be considered the outskirts.
We went to see Frisco, and we went to Frisco to see Marshall play. I mean, the stadium that they played in was amazing.
It was.
I mean, just amazing. And you know, and those things all cost money, and there are people out there with all kinds of money, and again, what's going to happen is it's just become a bidding war, you know. So every one of these players that we got through Calipari, basically, we're going to Kentucky. He comes down here, Jerry Jones doubles whatever NIL money they're going to get from Kentucky. They're all here now.
So, well, hold on. So you're saying Jerry Jones spent more money on Arkansas basketball than Dallas Cowboy football?
Probably. Hey, better chance of winning. Okay. That was reported. I don't know if that's true. I'm not in on that. I don't know if that's true. We'd have to find out some other things. One of the things we want to try to do during the summer is we're going to get some people that know a little bit more about Razorback basketball than we do to come talk to us about
this.
Yes.
We need to get Chuck Barrett back.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to see if we can get Chuck, maybe get Otis Kurt.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get a couple of those guys.
And summer will give us an opportunity to do some things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And
love to Nolan get Rex Nelson back again.
Yeah. Nolan Richardson, yeah. We could get
him. You
got
a relationship with him?
Well, I've had my picture made with him.
Do you? Well, maybe you can look him up. I would love to meet him.
I sat at a bar and drank a couple of beer with him one night. And
did you?
It was a really interesting conversation.
I bet it was.
He's a good dude.
I bet he remembers you.
I'm sure he does. We talked about Pat Bradley. He was going to Pat Bradley's Hall of Fame induction is what he was doing. Told me he probably needed to quit drinking.
He seems like a really cool guy to be around.
I thanked him for everything he had done for the best. This is when he was still not really back in the good graces,
yeah,
you know.
Hadn't had the court named after him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But, you know, it was he had some years where he wasn't really –
No, it was kind of sick.
It was because he was critical of who was coaching the Hogs.
It was because he was suing the school.
Well, that would do it too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he kind of left on bad terms.
Yeah,
but we've kind of got off subject there. But I feel like he quit coaching at that point too. I mean,
he didn't coach anymore.
I like it when the podcast goes off the rails, man. Yeah. I think it's the best ones.
But anyway. I just think that's going to be – the end result's not going to be good for – well, it's going to change the way college football looks.
It is not – there is no way it can be good for Marshall. There's just no way. It's never going to be the same. In my mind, you know, being a fan, my thing is, are these 32 or 48 teams, are they going to say, you know, we don't need the rest of you? They're going to play an NFL-type schedule where they only play each other? Or do they go into the second and third level and Marshall gets an occasional game with Ohio State, or you know, this year they play Ohio State and they play at Virginia Tech? Are those still going to happen? Those are big money games for Marshall. I was telling Jeff earlier, Marshall's whole athletic budget is $36 million, and they get $2 or $3 million for playing. They beat Notre Dame at their own place a couple of years ago and got a check for $3 million for doing it.
Right. Right.
Well, are there going to be any more of those games?
Well, I think if there are not, and I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
When that happens, it's going to drastically change those schools.
Oh, there's
I mean, because their
no
athletic budget's got to drop.
That's right.
Yeah. I think a lot of those schools have to feel defeated kind of looking at what's going on. And another one, you talk about Marshall, that I would probably throw in that mix that, you know, has been successful. What about Boise State or something like that? They're not going to have just millions to throw out there, I wouldn't think.
No, I would say now there's more people there than in Boise than there are in Huntington, but I would say they're in a similar situation to Marshall where they've had success despite the odds being stacked against them. And they're probably on, you know, there's some G5s that are in big metropolitan. That's a great picture, man. Who's that with him? Jeff
sure
showed
he only
me his
had
picture
one or two beers.
Nolan Richardson.
I said, "You sure you only had one or two beers?"
Oh, he
looking at that picture.
Not me.
Yeah.
But you think about Memphis. Memphis is in a. Being they may be able to compete on that second level of
Man, you got me just brainstorming school, Louisville or somebody like that.
But Louisville's a Power Five. They're in the ACC. Memphis is still in the American.
Okay, yeah.
So you know, they're a true G5 school. You think about someone like San Diego State. You know, are they going to be able? You know, they should be able to generate some Fresno State. Think schools like that, but schools who are in very remote areas, Arkansas State in Jonesboro, Marshall in Huntington, I mean, there's just not a lot there to generate the revenue that's going to be needed to compete in Division I college football. And I hate it. I mean, I love Marshall University, and I will always be one of the herd, but I have a feeling for them it's going to be – they're going to be playing teams – like they did when I was in school there. There's going to be a lot of MAC schools and Southern Conference schools and things like that. And I think that's just inevitably, if you want to keep football, that's the way it goes.
Which essentially they were Division II back then, what it was called.
1AA.
Right? 1AA, okay, yeah.
All of our national championships football are 1AA.
Yeah.
Do you think some of these schools saw that coming, maybe down the pipeline, and that's why they got in some Power Five situations? They did take West Virginia, ended up, you know, in the Big 12.
Yeah, I think that was their last exit. I think West Virginia would still be G5 had they not jumped to the Big 12 when they did. They would be in the American right now.
I mean, like crazy across the country, which I can't.
But those Big 12 schools, other than the Dallas schools, maybe Baylor.
UCF.
UCF's a big school in a big market. But some of those Big 12 schools are going to be in a situation where they're going to be in that middling. West Virginia is not going to be in a top 32, 40, or 48 scenario.
Well, you know, you look at Oklahoma State. Now, unless the Pickens family does it, they probably won't have the money to do it.
No.
You know, and that's what it all boils down to.
Well, we even talked about SEC schools, Greg. That,
yeah.
I mean, you think about Mizzou.
Yeah.
You think about Vandy.
Yeah.
You know, and on the outskirts of that, you think about Arkansas.
Yeah.
Are they going to be... being at 32, 40, 48.
Missouri and Arkansas, they're going to split Walton money, so it's not like Walton's going all in on either one of them.
That's right.
You know.
That's what they've been doing anyway. Yeah. Yep. And so, anyway, I think it's going to be interesting to follow it as we move forward. I said, and the one thing we hadn't even talked about is television revenue money, you know, and that's going to factor into it too.
Yeah, not many TV sets in Huntington, West Virginia.
Yeah, yep. And so anyway, anything else y'all want to talk about today?
Well, I want to say real quick. I just want to do two things. One, Greg and I, we were both honored and surprised by the athletic boosters.
Saw that. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to. I cried that night. I'm going to cry again. me, a loyal Leopard, Greg is a lifetime Leopard, and we were both shocked. And anybody that had anything to do with that, I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I can't think of anybody more deserving than the Lifetime Leopard Award than Greg Revels. Let me tell you what, this guy bleeds black and gold. He's Leopard through and through. Even if it means mixing it up with an official or a scrapper or whatever. And
doesn't bother him to roar.
I'm honored to call him my best friend and my partner in crime and whatever else. And I was honored to share the stage with him the other night at the athletic banquet. And anybody that made that happen, I really, really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And I was stunned.
And as was I. I was speechless. I'm not speechless.
He wasn't entirely speechless.
No. I was when I first found out. By the time I got up there, I'd recovered. I'd recovered a little bit. But really, the Booster Club, just so much appreciation for that. I'm going to tell you this. I would not have received that award without this guy right here, Tony Stowers. Drags me along to a lot of things. Not that I don't want to go. He just takes me. He doesn't need me. He just takes me.
He makes sure.
Like I tell everybody else, I'm comic relief is what I am. I'm probably the biggest homer on the radio.
That's true.
And unashamedly so. I tell people when we start out, hey, I'm a homer.
If you don't like that, you better find somebody else to call you.
That's right. If you're the other team and you're listening to me, I'm gonna pull for the Leopards. I'm gonna tell you the calls that go the Leopards' way.
I'm reminded of a situation, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay.
But when the Cubs were using guest people to sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," and they wanted Bob Uecker to say it, and then they wouldn't let him sing because he wouldn't say Cubs. He insisted on saying "Roo Roo Roo" for the Brewers. That's that guy.
Yep. Yep. You're right about that. But once again, thank you so much for honoring me and Tony that way. And there's nobody else I'd rather do it with.
Me either.
And congratulations to both of you.
Thank
well you. Deserved. I'm
thank
just
you.
Glad I get to sit in and visit with y'all.
Yeah. Brush with greatness.
Just so everybody knows, they both walked in with those plaques. They got them with them.
I'm seeing how much it costs to have mine mounted on my tombstone.
Well, I've been wearing mine. I've got a big gold chain.
Yeah, he's got a big gold chain with his plaques.
I was going to say like a heavyweight championship belt.
Yeah,
gold chain.
It means the most to me. I've been going to athletic banquets since I came to the Queen, and at Denton before, and Hurricane before that, and most times people that win these things are, you know. He's lived in the Queen for the last 60 years or whatever. And I've never felt like an outsider here. I've always felt like people have accepted me here. This is the most accepting place to live I've ever lived. And that just kind of solidified that and verified it with me that you know, I'm not an outsider. I'm a Leopard. So.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much. Probably a good place to close the show right there.
I agree.
We thank everybody for listening. We appreciate all our sponsors, and we also appreciate all the kids for all they do that makes it possible to do this. We will not see you next week because that's Memorial Day week, and we're going to take off that week. We'll be back in the first week of June with our summer schedule. Until then, have a good week.
Have a good week.